Right then. Right. Back again. Good morning. Good morning, you lovely listeners. How are you? It is, what is it? It is Friday the 16th of June. This year is whizzing by at the speed of light. But we've finally got some good weather every day this week and last weekend. The weather has been fantastic. Sun's out. There's not a breeze in the sky. Breeze in the sky? There's no wind. And this is episode 27. Who would have thought that I would stick to and actually enjoy this little hobby of mine? This is Mace's Man Cave. I'm again down the Man Cave. The windows are open. The new doors, or the recently acquired, very expensive doors, have been installed. Gemma did a good job, actually. We ordered the doors, and when the guy came to fit them, he said it needed a new frame, which I hadn't paid for, but he had a spare one in the van. So I've got them. So, yeah, wide open, which it needs to be, because the Man Cave has a black felt roof, and it's a sun trap, an absolute sun trap. So if you don't have the doors open and the windows open on a sunny day, it gets the sun all day. We're very fortunate. Our garden gets the sun pretty much all day. But this man cave can be a furnace. Hotter than a sauna, a sauna. And yes, I'm back down a man cave. This is Mace's Man Cave. I'm John Mason. This is episode 27, I've just mentioned, of my podcast, where I talk about lots of irrelevant stuff. And I know if you listened last week, I bored you to death about West Ham's victory in Europe, and that's the last I'm going to mention. I'm going to talk about football this week. I just got back from... I went to the gym this morning. Again, not sleeping. I have a terrible night's sleep all this week. Gemma's replaced the quilt for the summer quilt. So you have winter quilt and summer quilt. So I was hoping that might help, but it hasn't yet. And the other day, was it Thursday? Yesterday. So I've been in Northampton Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. In my new job, meeting lots of lovely new people and getting to know the business a little bit more, learning about what they do and how they do it, and all made me feel very welcome, very very nice people, and really confident we can hopefully grow the business and expand. But Northampton, I'm not going to lie, is a bit of a, it's placed, it's about 100 miles drive, so on a good day, you're looking at about an hour and a half drive. On a bad day, because you have to use the M25, which everybody who lives in London knows is just the worst orbital motorway probably in Europe. Well, actually, no, I've driven to some crappy ones in France. When I got lost once, I ended up in Versailles, is that what you call it? I was trying to get to the south of France and I just ended up all over the place. At least the M25 is pretty easy to navigate. The problem is it's just often gets snarled up and you get stuck in traffic for hours on end, and you got to time it right. So I left on Wednesday. I saw a window of opportunity. I was looking at the traffic reports and I saw an opportunity about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, everyone, look, I'm going now. So I got home, managed to pick up the girls, the twins, from school, which they were really chuffed about because I hadn't seen them since pretty much Sunday night, briefly Monday morning. And but Northampton, close to Birmingham, or close-ish, closer to Birmingham, I guess, than to London, but oh, what a crap hole. I'm sorry, people, if there's anyone who lives in Northampton, but I stayed in a hotel Monday night and Tuesday night in the city centre, and just so many. I mean, it's sad. So the city centre's just absolutely decimated in terms of shops, and you know, so many empty stores, and the shopping centre's closed down. And it's Monday night, and there's more security guards on a Monday night at the Tesco's, the convenience store, Tesco's store, guarding the wine. I think every bottle of wine had security tag on it. There was two security guards. There's vagrants outside. There's drug addicts everywhere. Yeah, really, really grim place. I mean, you know, I moan about my fair borough of Thurrock sometimes. Well, actually, I've got a lot to moan about. But yeah, Northampton, absolute shithole. So, I know I'm going to have to go there quite a bit over the next couple of years, probably. So that's not going to be a great experience. Yesterday morning I woke up at 3 a.m. Couldn't get back to sleep. I was in the gym by 4. This morning slightly better. Woke up at 4:30 and was driving to the gym, and the sun was rising. Clear blue sky. And you know, for a moment, a fleeting moment, I thought that Thurrock isn't so bad. This borough that I live in. And then I remembered the 110-page report that I read yesterday about how badly our local council, our borough council, has been run. And oh my God. Now, I worked in local government for 20 years. And Westminster Council is probably a flagship borough, you would call it, in the heart of London. Very well run. Certainly was when I was there, because I was there, obviously. So, of course, it was well run. And then Transport for London isn't technically a borough, a London borough. It's a urinary transport authority. So responsible for all the tubes and the buses and the taxis. And I've told you that before, and many of you listeners know that. So very well run. But my borough has been mismanaged to the beyond incompetence. I was reading this report. So basically what happened, we've gone bust, basically. The borough is bust. It's it's £1 billion in debt. They went on a strategy of borrowing money from other boroughs, which they then invested in various dodgy deals, wind farms. They did certain projects, you know, there's wind farms, there was a wood chip, something to do with wood chips. They invested 10 million in that. But basically, they started this strategy of investing in various projects, but they did no due diligence on the projects. And after the first couple of investments of a couple million pounds, they basically were given authority to just go and do what they wanted. The financial officer, it's called a Section 151 officer, was given authority to basically just borrow money and invest it. And they got some returns, and basically after a couple of years, they were getting returns, I think £30 million a year from these investments. They hadn't started to pay back the debt, but they were then using that £30 million a year to enhance operational services, probably beyond what they needed to be, and also keeping the council tax, the tax that local residents pay, artificially low. One of the second, third lowest in the country. And it's all fallen apart. It all fell apart. All these businesses went tits up. Everyone's been in administration. There was one business they borrowed and then invested something like £600 million in some solar wind farms, which have gone bust. And so basically, when you go bust as a council, the government steps in and they ordered a report. So Essex County Council led an investigation and report, and I was reading the report yesterday. It came out yesterday, and it's horrific, just how badly the council has been run over the past 4 or 5 years. And there was one guy actually found out his name, Steve Taylor, I think it was. He was what they call the Section 151 manager, which is like chief financial officer or something along those lines. And he basically just, without any oversight, without any approval process, just borrowed tens, hundreds of millions of pounds and invested them in all these dodgy deals, and they all went tits up. And so in, I think it was September, February, June, like about this time last year, the council went bust. And this has been going on, and there's just been incompetence of every single level. The elected members haven't been, keeping the council officers to account. The chief executive resigned before she could get sacked. That Section 151 officer resigned before he could get sacked. And now we're left with a borough that's bankrupt, that's clearly going to have to cut services to the bone, to the absolute bone. That's what the report says. You know, the services are going to have to be reduced to the statutory minimum, basically opening the doors, keeping the lights on. So if schools need books, they ain't going to get them. If schools need, you know, if the schools are failing and they need new teachers, they're not going to pirate. You know, it's ridiculous. The bins aren't going to be collected. The roads aren't going to be maintained. You know, it's going to get really, really, it's shit anyway. It's going to get shitterer. Invest, borrow all this money and invest it, you know, in these wild schemes that have all gone bankrupt. They also were incapable of delivering any of the projects. One project is the widening of the A13. They wanted to widen the road, the main road that goes through the borough. Project that was supposed to cost £71 million, overran, cost £149 million. And the report clearly puts the blame for those overruns on a complete absence of project management. And they signed contracts with the companies that built the road. I think it was Jacobs and Ringways. And they signed these contracts. There were no delay clauses. There was no financial penalties if the project overran. There was no project management. There was no leadership. My local station, they knocked that down a couple of years. It was going to be £7 million to build a new station. It was meant to be done by now. That's all gone belly up. So now we've got basically port cabin for a station. And the latest, I think the estimate was £29 million. So, yeah, so my borough is fucked, people. My borough is fucked, and it's going to get worse. Our taxes are going to go up and our services are going to go down, and it's just damning. And I cannot get away from the fact that it just seems dodgy. I want to know. I sent the report to, there's a magazine in the UK called Private Eye who investigate and, you know, do stories and exposés on this type of thing. And I sent them the report yesterday, and I'm saying, please, 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 please tell me you're going to read this report and you're going to do some more digging, because I cannot accept that there isn't any kind of like backhanders. I'm putting it out there now. This guy, whatever his name was, you know, I just can't believe he could have been that incompetent, and there has to be some connection between him and whether he got money or whether his friends or family were involved in the schemes, or whether, you know, as part of the whole process he maybe got some kickbacks or, you know, whatever. There's got to be something dodgy. Got to be something dodgy. So I hope they do some digging on it, because the residents of this borough deserve better. And I'm ranting a bit, and I'm sorry. But yeah, it's really fucking wound me up. Hey ho. So last week, in my giddy excitement to share my joy of West Ham's phenomenal victory in Europe, I forgot that I'd run a competition, didn't I? I was playing some theme tunes, and I was asking whether anyone knew what this was the theme tune to. Hang on.
Do you remember? If you listened to it.
Oh, yeah. So if you listened a couple of weeks ago, I played this theme tune, played a couple of others. And you will recall, or you may recall, I had a prize. You could have chosen your prizes of a Breville, a Soda Stream, I think it was, or a coffee maker. And The responses were overwhelming, and I had one entry. I think it was the, someone said the A team, I think it was. And no, it wasn't. It was Hardcastle and McCormick. So no one got that one. So I'm sorry about that. And if you've never heard of Hardcastle and McCormick, it was it's really weird. It was like a red, it was a judge, Milton C. Hardcastle. He was an eccentric judge, notorious for being strict with the law. And he was preparing for his retirement, and he finds in his filing cabinet, there's 200 people that escaped conviction due to kind of various legal technicalities and things like that. And so inspired by his hero, the Lone Ranger, he wants to make the criminals answer for their crimes. And so he recruits this bloke called Mark McCormick. Hence, I mean, it's genius, isn't it? So he's Hardcastle, and he recruits a streetwise, you know, smart-talking streetwise car thief. He's got the perm, and he's got this prototype sports car called the Coyote X. And together, him and the judge band up together to kind of track down these nefarious people that escaped justice. And I think it went for one season. And so if you didn't get it, well, no one got it. So you just couldn't give a fuck, really, could you? No one wanted to win me Coffee Maker or my Soda Stream. But yes, it proved to be an excellent pursuit vehicle. For tracking down these 200 or so nefarious people. So no one wins the coffee maker, no one wins the Breville. They're still in the, they're still up for grabs. I should have prepared. I'm 27 episodes in. I feel like I'm getting better, but it's still a bit of a shambles, I know. So I should have prepared, see if I could come up with another competition that might have grabbed your attention a little bit more. And that's a failure on my part. But a failure on your part, dear listener, was that you didn't get Hardcastle and McCormick. Maybe I need to find a British, because that was American, and that was obscure British one, wasn't it? So American one. So maybe I need to find, because I like talked a lot two episodes ago about all those American TV series like Chips. An A-Team and the Hulk. There used to be some good British stuff when I was growing up in the 80s and, you know, late 70s, early 80s. Although my dad was into things like Space 1999. He was a bit, what do I want to say, a nerd. He liked Doctor Who, so I always remember crouching behind the settee watching Doctor Who. And he'd watch, he'd watch things like, there used to be TV series, like drama series, like the Day of the Triffids, which I remember being particularly scared about, because it's just something you can relate to, and it's like plants that are aliens that take over the world. So Day of the Triffids, there was another one about rabies, I recall, that made me petrified of dogs. There was a one-off called Threads. That was a one-off thing. I think that was probably mid-80s. That was all about, if you want to cheer yourself up. Oh, got a phone call coming through. I'm just gonna ignore this one for the moment, and give them a ring back. I'll give them a ring back in a bit. It used to scare the shit out of me. And my dad used to watch all of that kind of stuff, Doctor Who in particular. John Pertwee was the first guy that I remember being a doctor. And then it was Tom Baker, if I remember rightly. But yeah, I'd spend most Cybermen and things. So I'm not a nerd like that, you know. but yeah, he used to watch all that stuff. Day of the Triffids definitely used to used to really kind of scare me. And I'd have nightmares, and then my mum would have an argument with my dad about him letting me watch the things. What was the other one with plants? Oh, it wasn't, well, I suppose it wasn't a plant, was it? It was. I remember Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that film. I remember the first time I watched that, that scared the shit out of me. With Donald Sutherland and Donald Sutherland, who else was in that? Leonard Nimoy. Was it Karen Allen, the woman? And then, so Dr. Spock was in it. And then a young Jeff Goldblum, if I remember rightly. But I remember being scared. That gave me nightmares for weeks, that one. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So I was less of a nerd. I was more into your kind of Only Fools and Horses classic. And actually, when you think back on those days, they did invest quite a lot of money in, well, I say they invested, but they paid a lot of attention, didn't they, to the theme tune. So 2 weeks ago, he was going for the American ones, and I said Chips was an absolute classic for American, all the kind of very 70s music. So I did have a little think before the show. So I did do some prep. So here's a couple for you to take you down some memory lanes. The program that I used to watch all the time growing up, and that was Minder. And they used to have main absolute classic. Together now. I'll be so good for you. Of course, sung by one of the stars of the show, Dennis Waterman. And it was it George Cole? Very famous actor of the 60s and 70s. And I can't remember. I remember watching Minder regularly, but that must have been in the 9 o'clock slot? In the UK, as I was growing up, so I was allowed to watch Minder. Oh, the other one my dad used to watch, which I loved, absolutely loved, because I remember, even though it was marketed towards, I'd say it was probably marketed towards adults, but the professionals. That's got a bit of that Chips. Isn't it? Very, very similar, I think. No singing, obviously. Bam, bam. Just remember white Ford Escort Mark II and the Capri. Glory days, the professional CI5, Bodie and Doyle. Which one was Bodie and which one was Doyle? Bodie was Lewis Collins, I think, if I remember rightly, and Martin Shaw was Doyle. And Bodie was the hard, real hard one. You know, he had the kind of short crew cut haircut. Looks a bit like Action Man. Tough. Non-compromising, whereas I think they were both builders, kind of ladies' men, you know, both ladies' men. But yes, it, you know, I remember having the Corgi on a matchbox CI5 cars. So you'd have a white Ford Escort Mark II, which just everyone, you know, you look at that now and you think, oh God, you know, that was the car, and then the Capri as well, and. You know, they'd get involved in drug dealers and terrorism and everything every week. So I used to love a bit of the old professionals. So when I was kind of trawling through YouTube the other day, thinking about all these different TV shows that I used to watch, I came across one and I went, my God, My God, I remember that. And it only ran for one season. And had a fantastic theme tune. And I'm going to play it now. I'm not going to do a quiz, but I'm going to play it now. And then I'll talk about it after I've played it.
The sun sets on the Thames, another day comes to an end. We got the night ahead, and in the morning, is it just another day? Or will prospects find a way on the crumbling city streets, hoping for tomorrow? In the city filled on dreams, a broken smile, a magazine, the daytime man on the radio, the ram star is getting out to people like you.
That was, if you're up on your one hit one, that your seasons that just stick in your mind and you just kind of think, what was that? What was that? Well, that was, my friends, a series called Prospects. It's about two guys shown in the UK. I don't know what year. I should have looked that one up, shouldn't I? Again, Mason fail. Let's bring it up. But, Prospects, it was shown on Channel 4, one of the early... So in the UK, we grew up with three channels. Turn that down a bit. Three channels. BBC One, BBC Two, both state-owned, and then Independent Television Radio... Independent Television, ITV, which had ass adverts. And then... So we must be talking about... I'm trying to think when Channel 4, so we, for all the years growing up, I was 16 actually. I had a view that I'd be younger. But yeah, I was 16, and this TV show came out. Channel 4 was launched 92, so 4 years in. And Prospects was this TV series that followed... Followed two guys, white guy and a black guy, labourers, unemployed, in growing up in Thatcher's Britain. It got into all sorts of different scrapes and shenanigans. To East End, down in the docks, the old docks, the Isle of Dogs, trying to make their way in life, make a living. And I think there was only 12 episodes, and that theme tune, fantastic fact for you, was composed by a guy called Roy Dorsett, and it was supposed to be sung by Roger Daltrey. But the producers of the TV show said, no, actually, we like your demo, that's fine. Yeah, we're quite happy with that. Probably Roger Daltrey would have wanted a few more bob. So the producer said, no, let's just stick with the demo. So that was the demo. And Roger Daltrey, just of The Who, missed out on that one. I'm sure he's gutted. and it starred, so it was Pincey, I think it was. Yeah, Pincey. It was this guy called Gary Olson, quite a charismatic guy. And Brian Bovell played Billy. There's a few stars in it. Every now and again, I think there was a gangster. Nigel Davenport was the gangster, and they got into all sorts of scrapes. And yeah, I came across that one. It really kind of brought back some memories of decent British shows. I think, and as I recall, they it did so well on Channel 4. I think it got the highest ratings on Channel 4 since it after it was launched, that they repeated it on ITV, on the main, what is the main commercial television channel. And yeah, sad story actually about the main lead on that was a guy, as I said, called Gary Olson, and he went on to star in a quite a popular BBC sitcom called 2.4 Children, and then got diagnosed with cancer, and sadly, fucking cancer, and then sadly died at the age of 42, so, which is no age, is it? No age to die. But yeah, so another little trip down memory lane for you there. With some more TV classics. So what else has been going on? Been continuing to learn Spanish using my little app. Why did that message fail to send? What's going on then? Try to take someone back. Been continuing to learn Spanish. I got promoted to the Diamond League of my on my Spanish app, and I'm currently in a three-way battle with Sheena and Alan, and Alan's fucking overtaken me. There's a day left, I think it is. So you have these little leagues. Yeah, I've got 3,000 XP points. 3,110 XP points. Sheena's just pipped me to second now. She's got 3,310. And fucking Alan, who has come from nowhere. God knows what he's done. I'm saying that, he has been doing it for 6 years. So Alan, if you're out there, congratulations, my son. There's 2 days to go on the Diamond League. I don't think I'm going to be able to catch you up. There's a little one of the exercises you have to speak, and it's the quickest and easiest way. There you go. Can you hear that? That's my little. Do it again.
¿Cuándo estás ocupada, right. Sofía?
So, ¿cuándo estás ocupado, Sofía? There you go. Ding. Oh, Juan, disfruta el partido. Are you enjoying the game, Juan? Let's do one more, because I'm sure this
mañana
is just fucking riveting.
Mañana es jueves.
For you all. Mañana es jueves. That is, tomorrow is Thursday. Un fin de semana. That's a weekend.
Hoy
es sábado. Today is Saturday. Well, it's not, it's Friday.
Feliz fin de semana.
Feliz fin de semana. I think that's enjoy your weekend. Feliz fin de semana. Oh, happy weekend. ¿Cuándo es el partido? When is the game? No games at the moment. Football's off. Mi cumpleaños es el viernes. My birthday is on Friday. Happy birthday to me.
¿Qué día es?
¿Qué día es? ¿Qué día es? What day is it? It's Friday, just told ya.
Viernes,
that's last
sábado,
one.
Domingo.
I know this. Viernes, sábado, domingo. Which I think is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There you go. 20 points. 20 XP points in my battle for first place on the league. So yeah, I've been obsessed with trying to beat fucking Sheena and Alan, but they're fucking doing my head in. And every time I think I'm just ahead, they just come back. Every time I'm out, they pull me back in. So I might have to stop getting so engrossed in that, because it's taking over my life. But yeah, so what else? Father's Day this weekend. So if you're a dad, I hope you're gonna have a great weekend. Parenting is a joy. If you are a father, you will know. And I think I've done quite well over the past week. Put the girls' pool up in the garden. And I've got all the stuff. It's a big, it's 12 foot. I mean, to Americans, it's just like a paddling pool, you know. But it's an above ground 12 foot diameter pool. But I got all the stuff for it. Got a really good filter. And I think the first pool we got, it just had one of these cheap filters. You had to keep changing the cartridge on. So I got a proper filter that's got, you can fill it with sand or you fill it with these like little, like cotton wool buds, but obviously not cotton wool. Silica. Is it silica? Anyway, these balls in it, and it really pumps the water through and it keeps the water really nice and clean. And you have to check the chlorine and the pH levels on a daily basis. But the girls have been in that pretty much every night after school this week. And it's actually been, I bought one of those solar covers, and it's actually been quite warm. So like one of the days, I was almost tempted on Wednesday after my drive back from Northampton to actually jump in. And getting myself, but yeah. So I'm hoping they're going to pay me back Sunday. I'm expecting big things due to my parenting skills and my daddy skills. That I'm going to be suitably rewarded for my efforts. They have a thing at school where they can take £2 in each and get a present from a little selection of stuff, and then they wrap up the presents. They do it for Mother's Day as well. And I think the past 3 years, I think every year Gemma's got a mug. I've got a mug. Normally a mug, pair of socks is normally the stuff. But yeah, so Sunday's Father's Day. I'm looking forward to that. So even though it's Father's Day, I'm going to be doing most of the cooking. Gemma's stepdad, Colin's coming over, and a mum. And my son Alfie's coming over, and yeah, weather looks like it's going to be nice. So we will be in the garden. I will be getting my barbecue on again, using my, again, I need some sponsorship, my Ninja electronic wood-fired grill, which I am using more and more. I might do a bit of a pulled pork. It's brilliant at wings. Oh, the wings, just 20 minutes, bosh, you've got brilliant wings. But yes, I've got that the weekend. Weather looks like it's going to be superb. And I've got to get to work. It's only a short one today. I should actually get down. I've got lots to do in this new job. It's really exciting. And I hope you've had a fantastic week. I've had a great week, and really looking forward to the weekend. And as is the norm these days, I'm gonna play you out. Now I know that country and western songs, music isn't everybody's bag, and I've got to admit it wasn't really mine. So please don't switch off yet. Just bear with me a minute. It's a mixed bag, country and western, I've got to say. So country and western music, for me, there's always a story. So on my American friends who introduced us into country and western, so my vision was always Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. Of course, they did the famous Gambler, and that was my vision of country and western. But there are actually some interesting country and western stars out there, and they normally, the norm is it's not a country and western song unless they sing about the girl from the farm, the farmer's daughter, truck. They've got to sing about a truck, a flatbed truck normally, shucking corn, getting drunk, drinking Jack Daniels, drinking Silver Bullets, which are Coors. What else do they do? Get drunk on planes. There's normally a bird. Oh, the love for the country, USA. The boys abroad, you know, serving abroad, the military. That you know, those are the kind of general general themes of country and western. You know, if you hear a country and western song, you know, listen to the lyrics, listen to the story, you know, if there's not a truck in it, if there's not a mention, a reference to Jack Daniels or drinking or farm or our boys in the army or just how great America is, then it's probably not. It's not really a genuine country and western song, to be honest with you. But I am going to leave you with a country and western song. It is by, it kind of like, when I listened to it, I was thinking, oh yeah, because I'm 53 now. It's called Growing Up and Getting Old. And I listened to the lyrics and I went, yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see how that might resonate with me a bit, you know, about what it's like to be growing up and getting old. So thank you very much for listening. This is Luke Holmes. This has been Macy's Man Cave. I wish you well, and I'll see you next time. Got a wild card. I messed that up, didn't I? I keep inside my boot. I've been thinking lately, maybe I should save it. Some hangovers sure kick my ass these days. So I spend most of my happy hours here at home. In the middle of growing up and getting old. But I can still raise hell all night with the boys when I want to. Lay that hammer down to see how fast you'll go. But these days I hang my hat on what I won't do. I've been finding peace of mind slow in my road. Learn to toe that line with time as it goes. In the middle of growing up and getting old, it's when you start to think how much time left you got. If there's more sand in the bottom or the top, that hourglass we have don't last forever. I've been thinking about it more and more these days. It's like the less you have, the faster that it goes. In the middle of growing up and getting old. But I can still raise hell all night with the boys when I want to. Lay that hammer down to see how fast you go. But these days I hang my hat on what I won't do. And I've been finding peace of mind slow in my road. Learn to toe that line with time as it goes. In the middle of growing up and getting old. I just look before I take on. But I can still raise hell all night with the boys when I want to. Lay that hammer down to see how fast you go. In the middle.